Father, we ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, as we look to this, really this word and the meaning of it that we hear, at least in the Christian context, every day, we either read it in our Bibles or we'll hear it said by someone or we ourselves will say it. But what does it mean to receive or to give a blessing? And what is a biblical blessing? And what is it today in our culture? So, Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'd give us a profound understanding of your word. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And again, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would, to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. You can shut your Bible in the middle, or shut it. Open it in the middle. Head a little bit to the left. And you will eventually get to 1 Chronicles. And while you're turning there in your Bibles, a brief introduction to our at-home campaign that we christened today, and it goes on for the next several months. What comes to your mind when you think about blessing? For that's the campaign theme, a blessing. And in our culture, we give a high acclaim to people like Galileo or maybe Kepler. We give a great high esteem to those like Abraham Lincoln, or listen, in most recent times, I'm not kidding, listen, it doesn't have to be politics or science per se, but we have a high acclaim of what somebody like Steve Jobs has done to our culture with the creation of Apple and their technology. But what about the movers and shakers in the world? We have this tendency to give them high acclaim. Why? Because we would say, maybe we'd use a different word, but we would say things like, man, they really changed our world. That's an understatement when you talk about modern technology, because that is the time and the age in which we live in. I'm old enough to be able to say, I remember when Ronald Reagan was an actor. I remember when Ronald Reagan became a governor. I remember when he became a president. I remember when he changed the culture of America. And those are recent things. You can pick your person or your decade or whatever and say, what was the big mover and shaker? And really what you're talking about is that a particular individual or what happened blessed you. Now, Christians use the word bless or blessing. It's almost a code word. When someone's on the news and they're talking, you don't know if they're a believer or not, and they want to be careful in their interview, they might say, well, I was really blessed. And then all the Christians go, oh, he must be a believer. Except the Hollywood scene where I read the other day where somebody was thanking God, sex, and alcohol for their great success. Did you hear that? I can't remember the guy's name, but he's real famous. I want to thank God, sex, and alcohol for my success. He doesn't know what success is, and he doesn't know what a blessing is. That's not how it works. A blessing, interestingly enough, and becoming a blessing, we often think, especially men, that it's a warm and fuzzy word. Oh, I'm so blessed. Or you bless me. Men don't, I don't know if I've ever heard a man say to another man, you bless me. It kind of sounds a little soft, you know? But the meaning of the word is not soft. It's very powerful. And you might be surprised today about how and why we need to be people that practice being a blessing. For some of us, we need to be instructed on how to receive a blessing. And we also need to become very wise about giving a blessing. So listen, the word blessed or blessing is that word eulogy that you hear at a funeral. Isn't it funny? It's so sad. You got to wait till you die to get a blessing pronounced upon your life. That shouldn't be the case. But the word means this, to yield or bow the knee toward another. The word means to, listen to this, to add or to increase the value of someone or something. The word literally means to put a coin in someone's pocket or to make, listen, are you listening? Watch this, to make a deposit in them. When you pronounce a blessing on someone, what are you doing? You're actually making a deposit into their life. And so as Americans, this is not normal for us. As Californians, probably remote. And even in our culture, we don't often practice a blessing in church. That's got to change in our homes. And so none of us are exempt today regarding our age, Are we grandparents? Is it too late for us? Or maybe you're single or you're young and you don't think about it. Well, today you're going to think about it. And the title of the message today is Becoming a Blessing. The Bible commands us to be one, no matter who we are. But how to do that is what we're going to be learning today. But it's all about making a deposit in someone else's life. And that's a very important thing. A little bit of background before we start reading and going through the scriptures together. I want all of you to get this. This is amazing. You heard a moment ago that the Greek meaning for the word blessing is to make a deposit or to bestow upon someone's life. The Hebrew meaning of the word bless or blessed in the Old Testament is extremely powerful. I need all of your attention or else you'll miss it. The word means this. By the way, it's Barak, like Obama. Same spelling, Barak. Now, in Arabic, that means like lightning, or it means like the horse of lightning. But we're not speaking Arabic. We're speaking Hebrew. And the word in Hebrew, where it comes from, is this. To bless God or to be blessed of God. Look, it also means to curse God or to be cursed by God. You say, well, which one does it mean? That's the great question. You mean you can bless someone with a curse? Yep, according to the ancient scriptures. Or you can bless someone with a blessing in the positive. Well, then how are we supposed to know if I'm being blessed or not? Answer, don't miss this, Bible students. The context of where the word bless or the blessing is performed determines its meaning. That is important. Because every one of us in our lives have either been blessed by our parents with a curse or blessed by our parents with a positive blessing. In other words, it has been bestowed upon us in some way, shape, or form. Question to keep in your mind. How were you brought up? How does it affect your Christianity? And who am I to be? Or how am I to live? Before we read 1 Chronicles 4, mark this down. Deuteronomy explains the context defining the blessing very well. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. God says, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, or to stand before you, that I have set before you life and death. Church, which one would you pick? Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, says God, that both you and your descendants may live. The God of the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, the God of the Bible says, choose life. I want your life blessed. That's God's will for you and I. That is beautiful. So listen, as you well know, as we start to read this in a moment, our study today, there's a litany of names in the Bible. We're pretty well into the new year. We're going through the Old Testament in our reading, right? In our daily reading, we've gone through a New and Old Testament litany of names. Most of the names you and I cannot pronounce, but they all have meanings. And in 1 Chronicles 4, there's a list of names. And you have a tendency to skip over them until you come to one guy's name. Why? Because the Bible stops at his name. Because it goes, this guy begot that guy, and this guy came from this guy's family, and this guy, and this guy. And then you come to 1 Chronicles 4, 9. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And, or the word some of your Bibles say, but his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on God, the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Look at that statement next. So God granted him what he requested. Church family, mark this down. The word Jabez, the man's name, means pain, one who brings pain, one who brings sorrow, one who brings disappointment. How would you like to have your name be disappointment? That's literally his name. And we don't hardly even care in our Western world about what a name is. People pick names by what's cool. Oh, what's in? What's in? Oh, let's Google. Let's Google and see popular names. And their names like this, or their names like that, and they're cool names, but what are the, people don't care about the meaning so much. Not in the Middle East, and not in Israel. You're going to be hearing a lot of the names of friends that I have in Israel, their names and their children's names, Why? Because it matters. And the Bible is talking about this man, Jabez. And so the circumstances, listen, the very meaning of his name means his mother's circumstances were disappointing. We don't know much about that story. What kind of home did she come from? What kind of world was she living in? It was disappointing, if that wasn't enough. When she was delivering this boy, he was a pain. He was hard to deliver. If that wasn't enough, his life was a great bit of suffering to her. I would say today that if people would be honest, in the context of their lives today, a lot of people might nickname their kids today Jabez. It's not the kid's fault. It may be the fault that very few people know how to parent these days. Very few people know how to be mothers these days or know how to be fathers these days. Very few people know how to have a family these days. And because if we don't know what we're doing, we wind up creating a very crazy environment that leads to disorder and chaos. But Jabez had been plagued by a series of unfortunate events in his life. And the truth is, my friend, words matter. And what you and I say matter in our culture and how we raise our kids. And by the way, when you talk about words, isn't it interesting that the Bible's very clear that when God desired to speak the universe into existence, what did he use? Does the Bible say in the beginning God snapped his fingers? Anybody? What does the Bible say? In the beginning God said, listen to this in Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light. And the Bible says there was light. God spoke with his word and created. Listen, have you not been created in the image of God, Christian? For all of us, for that matter, Christian or not, yes. Then, listen, the words we say, do they matter? According to God, yes. Jesus said that when you and I stand before God in the end, every human being... Now, remember, you're not going to say, well, he'll skip over because of time's sake. There's no time in eternity. There's no waiting there. And Jesus, the Bible tells us that we will stand before God and give an account for every word we've said in life. Every word. Why? Because words matter. And they're powerful. And isn't it interesting that when God ultimately wanted to speak to us, he literally sent the word of God in flesh, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that in old days, God spoke to us to the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days has spoken to us by his own son, Jesus Christ, the word of God. So church, write this down. Take some notes. You and I are going to be dedicating ourselves to becoming a blessing to other people's lives and predominantly our children. How many of you still have kids at home? Raise your hands. Now, I know this first service. Yeah, you know what? At second and third, if I ask this question, almost the entire second and third service will raise their hands because they're trying to get their kids out of bed right now. And it was easy for you to get here because maybe you're older or your grandparents or whatever, and you're not dealing with that anymore. But listen to this. Number one, write this down. It's found in verse 9, becoming a blessing. Words are like a mold. Will you write that down? Words become like a mold or a pattern. Every one of us, parent or non-parent, as long as you're breathing right now, your words, my words, are like a mold. That is, they shape people, the words that we use. And that's extremely powerful because look at verse 9, it tells us, now Jabez was more honorable. This is an interesting word because the word has a positive and negative to it. The word can mean that he had integrity. The word can also mean that it produced or it means a great defeat. So we don't know exactly. And that's part of the problem or maybe part of our understanding. Jabez was more, we don't know. Was he a man of character, or had he come to a point where he just felt like giving up? That his name and his life, his mother, we have no idea, was his father around? He just says, I've had enough of this life of mine. You ever feel like that? I spoke recently to a young girl, 13 years of age, tried to commit suicide twice. 13 years of age. Broken home, abused life, sexually abused. Rejected, unwanted. And she concluded, there's no reason to live. And of course, I won't say her name, but I'm wondering if in her life, when she hears her name, what she must think. Think of that. And the tone of the voice, or the tone of your name being said. Jabez, in the negative, the words that you and I use often can spawn discouragement. We all know that. It can steal us of security. Did you know that if you're insecure today as an adult, doesn't matter how young or old you are, if you're insecure today and you have a sense of hopelessness, it's interesting to find out, and thank God the Lord recreates us, but the power of words that have been instilled within us actually create much of the very nature of how we approach life. And if you're constantly whittled down and made fun of and mocked and belittled, then you have a tendency to withdraw and to be, as it were, an extrovert regarding life, often becoming a victim because there's no confidence and fear. The words used in the negative can destroy a life because why? It molds the people that we speak to. But in the positive, these words that we speak as parents or as friends one to another, they encourage us. They build security. They encourage hope, just as God's word does to us. Isn't it amazing? God's word tells us, notice, God's word nowhere condemns us until we reject his words of love. Think of that. What comes first? For God so loved the world. But if you keep reading John 3:16, 17, 18, 19, as you read that, it becomes a curse. Listen, are you listening? The very preaching of the gospel is a blessing to those who what? Receive it, are listening. The very same gospel preached becomes a curse to those who reject it. The very existence of God is a great blessing to us if you know him. If you reject and do not want to know him, the very concept of God becomes a great fear and terror to you, doesn't it? Isn't that interesting? And the same is true in parenting. The same is true in being friends and those that we work with. Are we a blessing or are we not a blessing to them? But the Bible tells us, listen to this, in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. Genesis 5, 2. This is about as politically incorrect as you can possibly get in our day and age. God created them, male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. God created mankind, male and female. This is the way God rolls. It's the way that God works. Why? He takes two things, and it is his desire to bring them together, and by coming together, male and female, listen, male and female, what happens even with Adam and Eve? Okay? God said to them, I want you to become one flesh. That's body, soul, and spirit, by the way. Don't think, oh man, dude, yeah, they had sex in the garden. That's all they did. They had sex in the garden. Listen. They were created spiritual creatures. They were bound together spiritually. They were bound together psuche or mentally. They were united. And listen, the consummation of that glorious work of God produced this physical union. And what happens when a male and a female come together according to the engineering of God? You got kids. Kids happen. That's God's will. That's God's will. Isn't it interesting that you and I live in a culture right now because it's so troublesome and difficult to raise kids? Most people don't know what they're doing, so they back away from doing it at all, or they had a very bad experience, so they conclude we're not going to have kids. And God says, you want to be blessed? Have kids. Amen. You want to know more about me as God? Have kids. You say, well, we can't have kids. Adopt kids. Find a kid. Borrow a kid. Listen, parents learn more about themselves and God with God when you have kids or you're around kids. And God announces that when a male and a female come together, the outcome is a little person that comes out in the shape of a mold. Boop, there they are. On the outside, they've got hands and they've got feet and they got, oh, the best part is what they are on the inside, man. It's an amazing miracle. You're going to want to keep that in mind. To pronounce a blessing. We prayed for little Jonathan a moment ago. What did we do? I held him and we prayed a blessing upon him as a church. I put my shoulders upon, hopefully, Senator Mike Morrell. Why? We prayed our brother a blessing upon his life. Listen, it shouldn't end here. A husband should put his hand on his wife's shoulders or head and say, Lord, bless my sweetie today. Look, it doesn't take much. You don't have to be creative. Guys always kind of like, oh no. Hey, it can be like this. Lord, bless my sweetie today. Keep her safe. And if any men want to get near her with bad intent, just break their neck right where they're standing. And God bless your day in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean that literally. And but listen, isn't it sweet? The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 10, verse 13, then they, the parents, brought little children to Jesus. So listen, they sought his attention and they had it. Why? Look, that he might touch them. Capture this now. That he might touch them. Parents brought their kids to Jesus that, number one, that he might touch them. Physical affirmation. Listen, dads, specifically dads, but not exclusively dads. Dads, make sure you touch your kids with a warm, affirming, appropriate hug and touch. Kids must be touched with a blessing. Squeeze them. Notice little kids will naturally run up to you and squeeze you. They'll naturally come up and hug. What is that? Listen, they're seeking out what God has instilled within them, and that is affirmation. And what does the Bible? The Bible says Jesus picked up the children in his arms. Let's keep reading Mark chapter 10. It's absolutely awesome. Here's his ushers. I don't mean our ushers. Jesus' ushers rebuked those. The disciples rebuked those who brought them, the kids, to Jesus. But when Jesus saw this, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me. Listen to this. Available. Affirmation. They've already got Jesus' attention. And he's available. And he says, do not forbid them. Notice the acceptance. Don't forbid the little kids to come to me. Parents, it is incumbent upon your life to point your kids to Jesus. How do you do that? Make it a blessing. Don't have Bible studies in your home with little kids and make it a drudgery. Okay, Junior, today we're going to learn about the basics of hermeneutics and biblical interpretation. Are you kidding? You make your Bible time with your kids very short and very fun. Why? Because everything about God, in my opinion, when you understand that Jesus, the accessibility of Jesus, the affirmation of Jesus, he picks the kids. What do you think he did? He picked the kids up in his arms and just looks at them and said, oh, look at you. You stinky little. No. I love the fact that kids ran to Jesus. Let's keep going in Mark chapter 10 for a moment. So do not forbid them to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Now watch this. Watch this full acknowledgement that he just declares. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and what does it say? Bless them. This, dad, grandpa, mom, grandma, here's your pattern. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Because in this, there's full acknowledgement. Pick up your kids and bless them. How does that look like? Pick them up and say, you know what? I love you. God loves you. And you know what? There's going to be a really, really cool thing that he does in your life. You just watch and see. Parents, grandparents, instill in your kids the anticipation of God working. That's a blessing. Think about it. It doesn't have to be some warm and fuzzy thing that you're thinking, oh, let me pronounce a blessing upon you. No, grab them and shake them and tell them, you know what? God is going to bless your life. You just watch. You watch him. When you see a blessing, you come and tell me. And you find out your little kid's going to come and say, Mommy, Daddy, look what God blessed me with. They'll remember. They remember every move you make and everything you say, they remember. Have you noticed that? Sometimes they repeat the words you say. And you tell them, you tell me, you make sure you let me know when God blesses you, because I'm praying a blessing that God would do a really cool thing in your life. It's very common in our home still. My kids are old now, man. My kids, I can't think about how old I'm getting because my kids are old. But even still, to this day, we'll go out about to do something. We've done this all their lives. And I'll say, Lord, in Jesus' name, show us something really special today. And when it happens, make sure we remember this prayer. In your name we pray, amen. And you know what happens? My kids still, in their old age, will say, hey, look at that. Hey, Dad, that was awesome. It always happens. Always. I got to tell you, it's amazing. What we say really matters. How we speak. Pick them up in your arms. Touch that affirms. You're going to be learning about that. This series, as you go out to the at-home center pick up information, you can put these things into practice. But think of that meaningful touch. He blessed them. And that's a great thing. The second thing is becoming a blessing is this, that words are like power tools in our lives. Words, what power tools do to an object, words do to human beings. Words. Now, in your mind, listen, don't raise your hand. Were you raised in a home where the words came out of your parents' mouth and they just built you up? It's like, man, I'm a goofball. But when my parents spoke to me, they conveyed to me I could do anything. Right now, our granddaughter, this is what's fun. Listen, as a parent, I told you guys this before. As a parent, it's hard to be a parent. It's very rewarding, but it's hard. And one of the reasons why it's hard is because parents, especially first-time parents, you're like this with the kid. Because you want, you know, there's a lot of pride being a parent. It's your first one. And you have a tendency to kind of overdo it as a first-time parent. Meaning either, the kid might get dirty and get a germ, so we have to carry them everywhere so they don't touch the earth, you know. Because they could be contaminated. So the other thing is this, that if they fall down, you're calling 911 as they are in the fall. It's funny, as your later kids come along, they fall down. It's like, suck it up. Get up. Let's go. I don't have time for this. Let's go. Push through it. Rub it off. Let's move. Right? It's funny. It's very funny. But it's true. But it's hard work. But grandparenting. It's not hard work. It's a joy. Parents have a tendency to be like the Old Testament law. Stand up, sit down, boop, dup, straight, smile, fix your hair. Parents, whoop. Grandparents, you want Papa to mess up your hair lip? Oh, look at that. You want to roll around in the mud for a little bit? That's awesome. You can have a donut, a cupcake, and a Snickers bar right before bed. Want some marshmallows with that? I'm dead serious. I've taken pictures of what I've made my grandkids to eat. Look at that! Don't tell your mom or dad that we just made that for you. Why? Grandparenting is like grace now. It's grace. Yeah, they're not going to break. You know what? If they throw up, they throw up on the carpet. It's safe. It's okay. The perspective completely changes. You know what? As grandparents and parents, I want you to get this if you haven't gotten it. Is pronounce blessings upon your kids. And our granddaughter, now our grandson's too young to get this. His day's coming. But our granddaughter is classic. She's so confident that we might have to kind of pull her back a little bit from the edge. Why? Because she's heard this all of her little young life. You can do it, Emmy. You can do it. And we'll say, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So, it doesn't matter what it is, she'll say, I can do it. She falls down, it's kind of funny. She falls down and she gets up, she'll try again. The kid has unbelievably persistent commitment to something. And she says, when she fails the first time, she says out loud, I can do this. She's 3 years old. I can do this. It's like, oh, what have we created here? And yet it's a beautiful thing. Think of it. Many of us grew up saying, you can't do that. You'll never be able to do that. Who do you think you are? Or how about this? Who do you think you are? Your sister? Or you think you're your brother? They can do it. You can't do it. Think of that. Think about the things that are being said that cut and hurt and mold and shape a life like a power tool. Our friends in Israel, to this day, the Hebrews, the Israelis, they got it down. Of course, they've been doing this for thousands and thousands of years. But you guys all know Amir. Some of you, we're going to be together with Amir in a few weeks in Israel. His oldest son is Ariel. What does that mean? Why'd they name him Ariel? By the way, do you know the Hebrews wait? The baby's born, they don't have a name. They wait. They wait. And they give the name by the eighth day. They study the character and the attitude of the kid, and then they give a name. Interesting, huh? By the way, talk about words being like a power tool. Listen to this. They named their oldest son Ariel, which means a lion or the lion of God. How would you like to grow up? You know your name has a... See, my name's Jack. What does that mean? I mean, my name is really Jack. It's not John. People say, oh, you mean your name's John. No, I was named with the name Jack. It's on my passport. Even when I go through airport security, they'll look. Is this supposed to be John? No, it's Jack. What's a Jack? It's like Bob. Your name Bob? Bob. My parents named me Bob. Bob means to... Well, what does Jack mean? To lift heavy objects or to be part of the equine horse family. It's downhill after that. It's not good. How'd you like to have a name? Whenever you write your name, hear your name, look at your identification, somebody calls your name, Lion of God! Yes! Isn't that awesome? It's big to pronounce a name to the biblical world that means something. Their daughter, next in line, Mayan. Mayan is a spring of water. Isn't that one? I mean, how can you look at a girl? You look at a girl and realize her parents named her a spring of water, water springing up. This must be some woman. Think of it. Their next son was born, the third son, Elad. Say, Elad. Yeah, it means God is eternal. Hey, God is eternal. Get over here. Isn't that cool? Their latest son born, Elon. Isn't that a beautiful name? Elon. What is that? The oak or mighty oak. You think a kid like that's going to grow up a wimp with a name like Mighty Oak? Imagine naming your kid Little Twig. Come here, Little Twig. No, it's Mighty Oak. Come on. Yeah. Isn't it awesome? I love it. There's a meaning to it. Read through your Bible, and when you study your Bible, look at the meaning of the names of certain characters in the Bible. And you say, yeah, well, I have a question about that, because some of these guys have names like this guy. This guy's got a name, and he's a real bummer. He's a bad news dude, and his name means like bad news. His name means bad news dude in the Bible. I mean, it's bad, and the guy's bad. How did that happen? You think maybe maybe the Bible writer changed the guy's name when they found out how bad the guy's life was? No. Listen, if you miss everything else today, don't miss this. The name bestowed upon a person, and that person hearing the meaning of their name constantly. Now, maybe it's good that my name has a very pathetic meaning because I never thought of it before. It's meaning, right? You don't think. Bob can just bob innocently along, not knowing that his name doesn't really mean anything. But when somebody says, you know what, this guy's name is whatever, remember, it's the circumstances that the Hebrews give the name to their kid. Because think of Naomi. Name me this from now on, Mirabah, because everything about my life's bitter. Think of it. If you constantly tell your kid, forget about their name. I was joking about Bob or Jack a moment ago. You could have the most beautiful name in the universe. But if you are constantly hearing, if you think your name is Jerk, if you think that your name really must mean Idiot, you're going to grow up functioning like that because you can't rise above that curse that has been pronounced on you. Thank God Jesus breaks all that stuff. Aren't you glad, Bob and Jack? Aren't you glad? Huh? Isn't it great that the Lord breaks all that stuff? You're not bound by your name. Jabez was bound by his name until he met God. And then God changed it all. He's going to change the meaning of it all. I think that is absolutely encouraging. So let's remember that. Again, in the negative, a verbal word spoken in a negative way creates a vacuum. This is touchy. Listen, everybody. A word spoken in a negative manner creates a vacuum in the heart or in the soul of an individual. Many of us have gone through this stuff. And I thank God that God's word answers that challenge. But maybe you're here today and you don't know God's word yet. And there's a vacuum. Well, how would you know? From the earliest ages, a child, when there's a vacuum of blessing, a child will fill it with something. And by the way, that never stops. There's a book that you're going to be encouraged to read. It's in the At-Home Center. It's by John Trent and Gary Smalley. That book is entitled The Blessing. And in that, he tells a story about friends of theirs who were high professional, career-long friends, high-level professionals, both of them university professors. When their life was completely in order, they decided to have a child. The only problem is when they got pregnant, they found out later on they were going to have twin girls. That disrupted their plan. They wound up having the twin girls, but one child had a tendency to be blessed with a blessing, and the other daughter began to be blessed with a cursing. Make a long story short, you can read it in the book. At the age of 17, the girl that had been scorned and rejected in the family wound up leaving home, ran away from home. 15 years later, I think it was the Cincinnati a police agency contacted the parents and said, "We want to notify you that your daughter died in a hospital here in this county this week. And she died a career prostitute and she died of AIDS." All the life of the child that was blessed with the blessing, that child detected how her sister was rejected and began to despise her parents. It eventually turned out that the kid that was blessed and wanted wound up hating the parents because she understood that by the parents' actions, they wound up were responsible for that daughter's death, the other daughter's death. See, what does that have to do with anything? It has to do with everything. It's very powerful. Because how we speak matters. You say, "Well, I don't say anything." That creates a void. I grew up in a home where very few, I know it's hard for you to believe this. But I grew up in a home where very few words were spoken. Very quiet house. That's why I talk a lot now. Making up for lost time. Listen, I'll give you the examples of two people. I know them personally. One is my wife, Lisa. Her father, very loving man, but very quiet. Rocket engineer, for real, for NASA, all this stuff, crazy. Very quiet man. She knows where she was standing, what it was, what she was wearing, everything about it, the day she heard her dad say, "I love you." Now, he never withheld love from her, but he didn't say it much. And it both broke her heart and it warmed her heart. Are you with me? I remember that in 1979, it was a Saturday. I don't know what month it was, but it was a Saturday morning, 1979. I was a Christian for 2 years. I was engaged to my wife. I remember waking up one morning in my mom and dad's house, went down the hallway, went out into the living room, and you don't ever do this to my dad's Orange County Register newspaper. Sitting in his recliner, I pushed the paper down. He looked at me, and I said, "Dad, I love you." I never said that in my life. He had never said it to me. And he said, "Well, I love you too, son." He didn't know what to do. Interesting, later on in life, I found out that my grandpa never told my dad. Jesus breaks that bondage and that chain of what we've been given. In fact, somebody wrote a book called Turn Around at Home. It's all about that, about changing what you've been given. And here's the deal. If you decide, "I'm just not going to say anything." Listen, some of you come from cultures that you never praise or honor your child with a blessing. You don't speak. "I'm an adult. They're little nothings." No, they're little everythings. They're the future. They're your future. They're the future of America. They're the future church leaders. They're the future worshipers of God. Think of it. And when we speak to them, We need to communicate to them. We need to hug them. That sends a great message. Hug them. Look at them in the face. If you can't do that, begin writing it. Write them a note. Build up to it. But grab them and say, you know what, sweetie? I think you're awesome. Number one, you're my kid. And there's nothing that you could ever do. Listen, there's nothing you could ever do in life that would stop me from loving you. Yeah, what age do you tell them that? As soon as possible. Why? Are you listening? Why? Because the day will come when they will be prone or thinking of wandering away. And if you're like this, you know what? If you mess up, don't even think about coming back to this house again. I was told that as a young man. I remember the first time that I got caught doing something, my dad told me this. He said, all right, here's the deal. It's time to have the talk. This is it. I'm going to give you exactly the talk. It's time to have the talk. A few things. Number one, you drive your car crazy and kill somebody, you better hope I'm the last one to hear about it. Number two, you get a girl pregnant, don't even think about coming home. Number three, if you wind up being drunk in public, and everyone else could know, but you better pray that I never know, because you may not survive it if I find out. And he walked out of my room. That was it. Let me tell you something. That gives you zero instruction. But my dad was raised in that fear is the motive. When you tell your kid, I love you so much, there's nothing that you could do could ever change my love for you. God loves you unconditionally. God loves me unconditionally. But it's sure a whole lot better when we walk with God. And I tell you what, buddy, I love you and I'll always love you. Then listen, when they start to be tempted to be lured away, you know what they're going to hear? Because the Bible made us this way. God's word tells us love conquers a multitude of sin. A girl, think about today, if America's young ladies were instructed and instilled by mom and dad to have enough confidence in their very person and self-worth because they heard it from mom and dad. Listen, don't ever let anybody take advantage of you. If you start to feel a little uneasy, get up and run. Do not be polite. Get out of there. You are absolutely precious and priceless in the eyes of mom and dad and God. And if somebody if somebody even tries something on you, you kick them where the sun don't shine and you run. And you get out of there. You understand that? Because you are a diamond. And don't you forget that. If America's girls got that input instead of Beyonce's latest porn thing or Miley Cyrus or whatever, because they look and it look good, bad, the vacuum will get filled with something. And many young women go around trying to fill the vacuum of what their dad did not put in there. Of acceptance and of love and of worth and of security. And they'll find a man who will at least speak those things. And he may have alternative reasons to speak them. But she just wants to hear them. And she'll give up stuff just to hear those words again. We can speak into our children's lives a blessing and change them forever. And time, listen, never runs out. It may run out on this message, but never does time run out for us. Third, words are like more than words. I know that sounds kind of valley talk, but I didn't know what, I had to keep the word like in there somehow. Words are like more than words. Words are more powerful than what we think. They're absolutely amazing. Jabez says, asking God, will you enlarge my territory? That is, will you make my life a prosperous life instead of a terrible life? The word means, will you grow up my life? Will you heap up my life? Will you grace my life? Wow. And so many of us grew up without a blessing from our parents. So what do we do? Cry about it? No, you don't cry about it. Listen, you have a parent. His name is the Lord. And you let him speak his blessings into your life. Listen, you got to read the Bible and take it personally. Don't ever read your Bible and not take it personally. The only way this Bible works in your life is if you take it personally. Why God is speaking blessings into your life. God says, you know what, Jack? What? I've loved you with an everlasting love. Me? Yep. And I've drawn you to me. Wow. Hey, you know what, Jack? I love you so much, I sent my only son to die for you. If you would have been the only kid of Adam and Eve, he still would have come and died for you. Really? Wow. Words are more than words. They create people. They create things. They create atmosphere. Wow. They're more than words. It's hard for some of us to take this seriously because it's hard to receive. Jesus said in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth things evil. Why? How is that? It's a law, you know. It's a real true law of man. It really happens. We all know that. Well, what's the deal? For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And listen, the great thing about God's gospel is that it changes our hearts. So the challenge is for us to start speaking a blessing. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, let me ask you. In your child's life, this is predominantly a message about parenting, but not exclusively. In your child's life, listen, you find, if you think, oh man, I was just cursed with this kid. No, you weren't. God has given you, the parent, the ability to create a child in more ways than one. Not just physically. You begin to speak into their lives and watch what happens. I mentioned this on Wednesday, so forgive me for saying it again. But one of the most revolutionary things that I've heard regarding a life being blessed was the chance that I had last Tuesday to listen personally, to meet and then to hear speak, was Dr. Benjamin Carson, the world-renowned pediatric neurosurgeon from Johns Hopkins. We're gonna try to somehow get his message here, either by him or by video. Church, listen, this guy, if you don't know who I'm talking about, you need to stop what you're doing. This guy's life was cursed from the word go. But he had a mother. And she said, you know what? Why'd you just do that stupid thing? You're smarter than that. She always rebuked him, but turned right around, and rather than leaving a void, she turned right around and filled it with hope. Why did you do that? I don't know. Do you have, it's kind of funny too, by the way. Do you have a brain? She would ask him. Yes. Then use it. This should have been your answer. Okay. One time he made an excuse for something that had happened. And she said, what did you just do? And he said, what? She said, you just made an excuse for your actions. Yeah. And she said, people without a brain make up excuses. You learn from it and don't do it again. No wonder why he became a brain surgeon. Her motherly, fatherly input, because his dad left them when he was very young. She raised those boys in abject poverty. If you got to read his book. Grew up to be one of the most brilliant, most famous surgeons in the world today. And by the way, the guy loves Jesus big time. It's never too late. Number four is words are like a great fortress. We're almost done. Words are like a great fortress. Jabez says in praise that your hand would be with me, Lord. That your hand would be with me. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And the righteous run into it and they are safe. Listen, words are like a great fortress. Good or bad, they're like a great fortress. Maybe some have been hurt so much by words, you can't receive any words from anybody anymore. But God can fix that in your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up. How cool is that? Oh, can I insert this? It's not in my notes, but I want to give that verse honor. Not that it needs it, but I can tell you how much it works. How many of you know non-Christians in your life? Raise your hand. You know somebody who's not a Christian? If you couldn't raise your hand, you don't get out much. Find the person in your life who's not a Christian and start treating them like they're a Christian. What? Start treating them like they're a Christian. If Uncle Wilbur's in the room and you know he's a profound atheist and he can't stand God, you know what? You should say, hey, Uncle Wilbur, you know, can you come over for a second? I just want to pray and I need to pray about this job thing. And can you come here? And just pray. He doesn't have to pray. You pray. Or tell them, hey, you know what? I was just thinking and stuff, and there's something good about somebody. You tell him, Uncle Wilbur, you know that part about how you do that stuff, that reminds me of Jesus. I just thought I'd let you know that. Start treating them like a believer. Guess what happens? They wind up wanting to become a believer. It doesn't make them a believer, but it makes them think about being a believer. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and listen, build each other up. Words are like great fortresses. Number five, we're almost done. Words are like fences, and I put in the night. Fences in the night, that you would keep me from evil. Fences, words are like fences. What does that mean? For example, you want to pray a blessing upon your kids? Here it is, Proverbs 3. Do this, put your hands on your kids and pray this scripture, Proverbs 3 verses 1 through 6. Imagine putting your hands on your kids and say, my child, never forget the things I taught you. Store my commands in your heart. If you do this, you will have many years and your life will be satisfying. Listen, never let loyalty or kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor both with God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will, all you do, and He will show you which path to take. That's a blessing. That's a great blessing. And then I'm going to ask you to stand for this one, because we end here with this one. Let's stand. Words are like creation. Let's all stand up. Words are like creation itself. Jabez says that I may not cause pain. The next statement is, so God granted him his request. Can you imagine? I don't want my life and my name to no longer be associated with pain, but the only way that this can be overcome is by you changing my life, God. And that is an awesome truth. In a moment, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to share some names of some Jewish friends of ours in Israel. I mentioned to you about Ariel and Mayan, Elad and Elon. But what about Geffen? Our friend's daughters, another friend, their daughter's name means a cluster of grapes or a fruitful vineyard. Shoham is their son. By the way, he's always smiling. His name means the stone upon the high priest's chest or joy, joyful. Carmel is their daughter's name, a garden or orchard. How cool is that? And then Neve, their oldest son's name is, he is an oasis. And so listen, I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, in the power of Jesus and your holy word, and I'm reminded as I pray now that your Bible tells us that when we appear before the Lord Jesus on the day of judgment, that you'll give us a new name. I am very glad about that. And we will all be very glad about that. Father, as we stand here this morning, I pray, Lord, I pray a blessing upon this body of believers. Lord, just as you spoke and you said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. So, Lord, I pray that this is the way that the children of this church will be blessed. That the Lord himself bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And Father, we thank you for the ultimate meaning of the name Jesus among all, above all. That Jesus himself is our salvation. For all time and eternity, our God on the cross dying for our sins that we might be blessed. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.